Good evening. Good evening, my friends, and welcome. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Good evening. Good morning. I guess it depends on where you are. It is here, 11 p.m. in the Central Time Zone, and that's Monday on March 26, 2007. Almost at the end of March already. I'm just really shocked that there isn't a war raging. I'm shocked that there isn't a nuclear war raging and all that jazz, which I'm very excited about. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, every time a month sort of flies by, and again, this one's not completely over with, I always am impressed with that sort of thing. It is spring, as you know, an early spring here in northwest Arkansas. And it was a nice weekend. We had some pretty good weather, and I spent some time outside doing some yard work. It was actually kind of enjoyable. I enjoyed being outside and did some things with the family. I enjoyed that time, too. So I'm feeling pretty good tonight, feeling pretty excited about the program and excited about just about everything except the gallons of pollen swirling through the air out there, covering the cars and just about everything else. So it's nasty, sort of. But luckily, I don't seem to be plagued by allergy problems, although most people in Arkansas, for some reason, have allergy problems. You know, even if they didn't have them before, when they moved here, they got them. I think there's something to be said for whatever it is. I think the silver and all the other stuff probably helps, but I'm very excited to not be coughing, sneezing, watery eyes, that sort of thing that most people seem to get around this time of year. So that in and of itself makes me feel like a lucky, lucky boy. All right. Welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org. Or perhaps you're listening at our website, franklyspeakingradio.com, in which case you could see the information on our guest this evening from AmericanAntiGravity.com. Tim Ventura will be joining us. Very excited to be chatting with him about a great many things that I can say with a fair amount of certainty I probably won't understand. But luckily, Tim seems to be very patient and can explain things in a very, very dumbed-down manner for myself to understand. Now, you out there, brilliant audience that you are, you probably will understand a great many things that he's talking about, in which case I would urge you to be a part of the program. You can pick up the phone and dial 800-313-9443, toll-free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. That's the phone number to interact with us here this evening, and I hope that you do so. I hope you take advantage of all these opportunities. So big things going on in the world. I'm sure you've been paying attention. Obviously, we didn't get a chance to really discuss it on Friday because our guest was on for the entire program. But, of course, you probably saw that Iran had virtually kidnapped. Of course, they would say arrested, and there's a whole lot of legal ramifications. 15 British soldiers, and they're still being held. Of course, that happened on Friday, so all through the weekend there's been concern and talk about their welfare and sort of what's going on with that. There was speculation that there would be some sort of prisoner exchange, perhaps, that the Americans would release some of the Iranian prisoners that we have, of course, the diplomats and whatnot that we arrested in Iraq, in exchange for the British. And the Iranians said, no, that's not what we're wanting to do, but we'll happily let them go as soon as there's an investigation and we get through some of these legal matters. Now that, my friends, could pave the way for a trial. And if it is a sham trial, if they are perhaps deemed to be spies or something like that, and executed, or even the threat of execution, that could really launch us into this World War III scenario we've all kind of been watching develop. And again, just like always, there's so many different angles to play on this story. Who knows what's going to happen, but it is noteworthy, and we will talk about it probably later on. But until then, my friends, we're going to pause here for a brief commercial break. Back in 3 minutes with our special guest this evening, and of course, more Frankly Speaking Radio. Please stay with us.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Good evening and welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You're listening to the fastest 4 hours in talk radio, Frankly Speaking Radio, hour number one, and our guest is joining us now. He is the founder of American Anti-Gravity back in 2002 and has since been featured in a multitude of television networks nationally and internationally, as well as extensively covered in print by sources such as Wired Magazine and Jane's Defense Weekly. Please welcome to the program, Tim Ventura. Tim, thanks for your time.
Well, thanks for having me on, Frank. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure. It's all mine. Selfishly, I'm keeping it for myself. Hey, you know, needless to say, the things that you're pursuing are things that you've been passionate about for a long time, and it's very exciting to me because, you know, I'm interested in all these things. It's certainly far, far, far above my level of comprehension, but it interests me nevertheless. And I think that any time you look back at history and you look at all the different innovators of their times, I mean, these were people who were obviously just leaps and bounds ahead of the competition. And I think you're one of those people. Not only do you pursue these things, but you seek out other people and you give them a voice when they have none. And I think that's an incredible thing. We should probably start out with what led you to found American Anti-Gravity.
Sure, sure. It's one of those long and convoluted stories, I guess.
But, hey, we have time.
Well, you know, it's almost challenging. I have to kind of redefine myself on a moment-to-moment basis. And part of that, I think, is because innovation or whatever you call it, this kind of engineering is a rather small community. It's still massive, but, I mean, it's small compared to, you know, for instance, the IT industry or something like that.
Sure.
And, you know, and as a result, I mean, there just, you know, there isn't that much media coverage for it, you know, other than the occasional Discovery Channel or History Channel TV crew that comes through. And so that leaves people like myself, very few of them, to try and capture just everything, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's always that phobia, I guess. If we don't capture it, it's gone, you know.
Right, sure.
So, you know, one day I'm a photographer, the next I'm doing video, you know, on day number three I might be building and testing something. It's all over the map.
Hey, it's a job diversity, though. It keeps it interesting.
Well, in regards to my background, I guess, I got bit by the bug, as they call it, with breakthrough propulsion in 1992. I'd started college a little bit earlier than most. I started at 16. And, you know, as you might imagine, didn't have much of an after-hours social life, so... I kind of, you know, started out by sending away for some HoverTech hoverboard plans for a fellow named Bill Butler.
Hmm.
And as it turned out, it was a work in progress that he was developing. He didn't have a finished, you know, build it and it will fly type prototype. But that turned out for the best because that really kind of got me involved. And I really ended up being self-taught in terms of just, you know, all of these different aspects, you know, entry level, but still different aspects of it. You know, the electronics. You know, the high voltage, you know, Tesla's type, you know, stuff,
mm-hmm.
just this wide array of seemingly unrelated technologies. And as I pursued that, I got in deeper and deeper and, you know, ended up teaching myself more and more. Used to hang out in the university library for hours on end, you know, after the school day.
Mm-hmm.
And several years passed. And I realized that I wasn't really getting much done in life other than that. So in 96, I took a break and just through sheer luck ended up going into the IT telecom revolution here in Seattle. So you know, some bumps along the road, I guess.
Yeah.
And during the layoffs in 2002, I kind of ran home to mama, I guess you'd say. Started American Anti-Gravity, and everything since then is kind of maybe a little bit of history. So
wow. Well, that's fantastic. So as far as what sort of, you know, captured your attention, was it the idea of anti-gravity specifically? Was it propulsion-oriented? Was it for industrial uses? I mean, obviously the implications of anti-gravity in and of themselves are virtually endless, but certainly there was probably one thing or two things that really, it was something that you were interested in specifically for you.
Well, I think that the propulsion aspect of it, not just anti-gravity, but, you know, the brake propulsion part has always been particularly captivating to me, you know, the dream of flight, I guess. But, you know, there's something about that type of innovation also that's always been interesting. And, you know, it's like popular science, right, the what's new section of popular science. I used to read through that and, you know, anything out of the ordinary would just captivate my attention. But I'd find that a lot of those innovations never made it to market. You know, it was this big breakthrough, and nothing ever really came of it. And so I guess in the position I'm in now, I get to see a little bit of the other side of that, to be able to understand.
Yeah, you know, you can see why, I guess, now.
Yeah. You know, and there's a ton of different reasons for each case. But, you know, so that's the kind of stuff that I try and cover on the website.
Hmm. It's an amazing website. I spent quite a bit of time there. Today, I finally got my computer problems worked out, and I devoted the rest of my time to surfing around. I mean, you have just an incredible assortment of material on there.
Well, I appreciate your saying that.
Oh.
You know, when I was first getting into this stuff, again, I mentioned the library, and this was kind of pre-internet days, or pre-web days.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you literally had to, you know, you'd scribble down notes, like in Western Washington University. The card catalog was on the bottom floor, and the engineering section was on the fourth story. And, you know, I used to scribble down these card catalog numbers and book titles and then carry them up four flights of stairs and spend, you know, 4 or 5 hours looking them up and then photocopying these pages. And when I finally did get on the Internet around 96, you know, in the early days, there was almost nothing there.
Yes.
You know, and you'd look up anti-gravity or something like that, and you'd see some guy's wacky anti-gravity page. It was, you know, text only, right? No, you know, no nothing.
Right.
And, so, you know, when I started American Anti-Gravity, the idea was, in one sense, it was, can I shave some time off this process for kids who are out there just getting into it now, you know? It's like, what if this had been there for me when I was getting interested? Would I have learned faster? Would I have worked my way through it? Or, You know, made that discovery that much faster, I guess.
Wow. Well, that's really been the beauty of this information age that we're in now, is that the information is accessible to people. All they have to do is look. And, you know, obviously, with the website titled American Anti-Gravity, you can obviously have a pretty good idea what you're going to find there, which I think is great, too. Because a lot of people, and I've come across some websites, people have sent me links and said, hey, look at what this guy's doing. And, you know, it's always some amazing innovation. And, you know, but the website is, you know, the website title is not indicative of what you're going to find there, which is, you know, you'd say, how would I ever have found something like this? But it's pretty amazing. At the same time, Tim, you know, as this information and the internet and certainly technology itself all like sort of speeds along, there's probably a lot of opportunity for, you know, hoaxes and stuff like that. I mean, is that pretty hard for you? Do people try to hoax you a lot?
You know, I've had a few attempts, and I think that there are some pretty well-known stories that are, you know, fall into the realm of questionability. There was a fellow named Marcus Hollingshead in 2003, and it was a story that literally just exploded into the news groups. And there were thousands and thousands of news group postings, many of them, you know, back and forth kind of question and answer, you know, is this guy for real type mm-hmm. messages. And I'm not sure that anybody ever really did get a straight answer there. You know, but it is interesting. I mean, these stories, they're like an onion, and every time you peel away a layer, there's more layers beneath.
Oh, sure. What did he claim to be able to do?
Well, in his case, it was very that culture of anti-gravity, I guess. He came forward asking questions very quietly. In the anti-gravity news group, which is kind of the newcomers, the newbies news group on Yahoo. And he'd asked a few questions about it. He'd asked a couple of questions about telluric currents, which are currents that circulate inside of the Earth. And you know, they were questions for me that struck a chord because that had been something that I'd read about, you know, during the card catalog days of Western. You know, it was at the time, because it was difficult to find this topic in any particular book, I would just, you know, read two or three of them and learn about all sorts of stuff that was unrelated. And so the earth currents kind of struck me as odd, and I started talking to him. And as I talked to him over the next week or so, you know, just kind of after hours, part-time kind of thing, he started describing this device that he built, and it was a very elaborate description, but basically it was kind of an iron core that got charged up with a current, and it had these armatures that swung around it with pulses of current through coils that were mounted on the armatures. And as he described this thing, it did kind of strike me as being similar to several other stories out there. The Searle effect is another, you know, very well-known, somewhat questionable story. Wow. And his description was reminiscent enough of that that I started to ask him about it, and, you know, he'd never heard of Searle, had no idea. The guy seemed genuine enough, and since we were discussing this in an open news group, other people started kind of listening in, and, you know, and then before we knew it, we had quite a number of people following it, and it really turned into a story. And the interesting thing was his description seemed so cohesive. He's one of those people where even if you're kind of on guard, even if you're a bit jaded, you end up believing him because he just comes across as honest. And in my case, I knew him well enough by then to talk to him on the phone, and I talked to him a couple of times. And again, on the phone, he sounds honest. You know, he just doesn't seem like he's pulling anything. And so then Nick Cook, the fellow who wrote The Hunt for Zero Point, Nick Cook lived somewhat near him. Nick lives around, I guess, in London, and traveled over to Hollingshead's place, or he traveled to a coffee shop to meet him first, and that kind of helped to confirm that you know, this guy seemed like he was for real.
Yeah, Tim, if I can jump in here quickly, we have a commercial break to deal with, but you know, I love a good story, my friend, and you've got a bunch of them, and I look forward to picking your brain here. And I know the listeners will be as well. Folks, go to the website AmericanAntiGravity.com. We're back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them,
You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Good morning, welcome back, or good evening, perhaps. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. Very excited to have our guest with us here this evening from AmericanAntiGravity.com, Tim Ventura. Welcome back, and thank you again.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me back, Frank.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Please continue with this story. You were just discussing Nick Cook had gone to sort of meet with this guy, investigate him, I guess, to feel him out.
And initially when Nick met him for coffee in London, they spoke for about 2 hours, and Nick Cook had the same feeling that I had. You know, Nick has been a journalist for well over two decades. Mm-hmm. He's, you know, aviation editor for James Defense Weekly. So I thought, well, you know, he knows how to read people probably better than I do. And he had the same impression that I did. And I thought, well, that's great. That maybe that means this person's for real. So this Marcus Hollingshead person, you know, by this time had also been describing, you know, levitating trucks, you know, being able to lift hundreds of pounds. Mm-hmm. And he'd also described some side effects that were interesting. He said that there was a black fog around the center of this device where it operated, and there was a field, almost like a force field, that prevented you from, you know, getting too close to it, right? I think it was maybe an inch or two away from these armatures.
Hmm.
He said that he actually tried hitting the field with a hammer once. The hammer bounced off. So, you know, pretty substantial effects and side effects to this device. But, you know, he was describing something that would be the perfect, you know, science fiction anti-gravity drive, where you push one button and it lifts and it'll take tons of weight with it. And the excitement about this online in these news groups just kept building and building and building, and people started demanding from him proof. They said, well, quit talking. We want to see video. We want, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And he looked like he was making an attempt. He'd claimed that he would try and build some mock-ups and send those out to people and get photos and stuff. And, you know, by then I'd been doing American Anti-Gravity for a while, and I knew a little bit better than to just make immediate demands because, you know, a lot of times that backfires. And I think in this particular case it did. You know, within a week of this demand, people started posting nasty messages, you know, saying, well, he hasn't done anything yet. See, it's a hoax. Wow. You know, it's this, that, and the other thing. And really that whole attitude kind of turned. You know, it was pretty friendly, pretty jovial before that, and got pretty negative thereafter. So people started peeling out of the news groups, but he was also getting calls at home, and I think he got a couple of death threats and just people who were really upset saying, you know, show us or else kind of a thing, you know, which for, in one sense was, it makes sense, I guess, when you think about it, but in another sense, it's really kind of cruel and it's not very mature, I guess.
Yes,
or,
I agree.
Yeah. So anyhow, this progressed over the next, you know, few weeks. And Nick Cook decided to surprise him at home. And I had talked to Marcus that day, but I talked to Nick Cook first. Cook had said that he showed up with a film crew and walked across the bridge into Hollingshead's house, which, you know, he lives on the side of a stream or something like that. And supposedly Hollingshead had these devices in his garage area. Well, Nick had talked about walking up to the front door, and Hollingshead opened it but didn't unchain it and gave him some bunk story about, you know, the government had, you know, I don't know, taken his device, and that was it. It was gone. So Cook ended up leaving, and that was the point where Nick Cook wrote the story off, you know, and I really couldn't blame him for that.
Sure.
But I talked to Marcus later in the day, and he had told me the, you know, the same story, and he said, well, he said it was 8 o'clock in the morning, it was a Sunday, I wasn't dressed, and, you know, here's this guy at the door with, you know, several, you know, cinematographers or whatever trying to capture video. And he's like, to be honest, I just panicked and made up the first thing that came to mind and just to get him to go away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so for me, it still left that question out there. Mm-hmm. And given the hostility and the threats and just the pessimism of the last few weeks before that, I really kind of had to quit pressing the issue. I quit pestering him for photos because I thought that, you know, by this time he was probably just spiteful enough that, you know, we'd never see them.
Right.
And so it became yet another one of those stories that contributes to this mythology, but really can't be proven one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the end-all, be-all of it.
Sure. Do those things happen often? And I've heard the same stories. I've heard from people who have, you know, these amazing things, you know, cars that can run on one battery without ever being charged, or, you know, things that can do this, that can do that, perpetual motion machines, and everybody's got them. And then, of course, when it comes time for, you know, put up or shut up time, then, you know, the goods aren't delivered. But then again, I've heard other things too. People would say, well, I've gone to this conference and I've seen this guy's car working, or I've seen this technology. It was brought out and this person gave a speech and they had their machine running the whole time, you know, things like that. So, at the same time, you just kind of go, well, how do you believe, how do you discern any sort of truth in this? And I guess the main thing that I would ask you then is, do you feel that the people who are doing these innovations are reluctant to come forward about them, with them, maybe because of personal threats, or maybe because they would basically be such an incredible addition to our society today as far as the potentials of it, that that people would be harsh, people would be demanding, they have a sense of entitlement almost because they feel like they've paid too much for their gasoline, or you know, whatever the case may be.
Sure, the psychology is incredibly complex.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that from the innovation perspective, not just the anti-gravity but also energy, it's an intersection of several different cultures.
Okay, before we go any further, Tim, I'm sorry, we have another break. They're coming fast and furious, brother. Hang on. Back in 3 minutes, folks. We're very, very privileged to have Tim Ventura with us. He's the founder of AmericanAntiGravity.com. Tons and tons of articles and videos and things like that on his website that you can watch. So stay with us. We're back in three.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Take it all lying down, 'cause once I get started, I go to town. 'Cause I'm not like everybody else. 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 And I don't.
Welcome back. You're listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, and I am your host, Frank Whalen. Very excited our guest is with us this evening from AmericanAntiGravity.com, Tim Ventura. Welcome back, and please continue. We're talking about the psychology of this sort of, I don't want to call it fringe technology, fringe research, but I suppose it's not mainstream. As you mentioned, it is a, sort of a smaller community, so I beg your pardon if that is an offensive term.
Oh, no. Well,
okay.
You know, some people take it as an offense. I use the term alternative science.
Mm-hmm.
In a strange way, I use that almost like alternative music in the 90s,
sure.
Right, with displaced rock and roll.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and at the time, most people didn't really like it that much. So so maybe that encompasses the fringe part. But, you know, but whatever you call it, it is definitely its own culture, and it's a culture in the middle of a crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on the one hand, like in the case of anti-gravity, it touches the UFO community, right? Because
mm-hmm.
UFOs presumably use that when they fly or something, you know, not appreciably different from it. You know, it also touches the NASA community, and NASA is connected to the military, so it's on that side of the mainstream. You know, it's connected to physics in some ways. It's connected to, you know, inventors working in the garage. I mean, it's just, it's at the center. It's the nexus of many different microcultures, I guess you might call them. It's also connected to, I think, coast to coast and that paranormal culture to some degree. Sure. So there's this little bit of overlap all over the place, and I think that definitely anti-gravity, but also this part of alternative science as a larger community than that picks up these habits and notions and ideals from all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those are good, and I think others, you know, might be somewhat detrimental. I think some of the conspiratorial ideas can sometimes be detrimental for inventors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know people who are literally looking out the window every 5 minutes to see if the government is watching them build something.
Right.
You know, and in some ways that's kind of ridiculous to, you know, to think that happens. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's possible that it does happen here and there, but, you know, to do it on that kind of a scale, you know, half the country would have to be spying on the other half. So,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you know, it's always difficult to tell. There's always the exception that proves the rule, so I could be way off base for any particular case, but, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting to see how that intersection, you know, changes perceptions, I guess.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Well, as far as the innovators, the people coming up with these things, do you think they're more or less likely to come forward with information? Based on the story you just told, that's fascinating to me, quite simply because it's not something I would have expected, but, you know, as you're telling me this, I'm thinking that makes complete and total sense. People would be sort of have that sense of entitlement about these types of technology. They'd demand it. Not only would they demand it from the inventor or whomever, they would demand to have access to it. They would demand that these things be put into mass production. They would demand that their lives are changed tomorrow. Damn it.
Well, you know, and the other part, too, is when you think about it, and I've actually had ideas that I've kind of felt like this about myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, inventors, I tend to think that this is kind of a good thing in some ways and a bad thing in others. They marry themselves to an idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like their child. It's really a part of themselves. It's a part of their mind that they've devoted to realizing this vision. And, you know, there are also points where innovators will sour business deals. You know, and an outsider, a third party, could look at this and obviously say, well, the you know, the guy who invented it was the one who messed it all up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of the reason is, you know, everybody needs funding. Everybody needs money. And everybody would like to have mainstream acceptance in terms of having a product on the market. But, you know, there's also that other part of not being able to give it up, not being able to give it away and say, you know, here it is, you know, you take it and commercialize it.
Right.
I think that for a lot of innovators, they on the one hand, they want that recognition, but on the other hand, you know, when push comes to shove, there's a part of them that realizes that it's really a part of them, and there's no amount of money that can get them to really hand it over to somebody else.
Mm.
So
that makes sense.
I've seen that happen a few times.
Really?
There have been a few innovations that really should have just taken off, you know, and yet, for some reason, somebody in the ground floor soured it for themselves.
What's the most promising thing? I mean, surely in all of these different areas of research, because you yourself, I think you said you have posted, what, 70 video interviews or something? I mean, just an insane amount of information on your website there at AmericanAntiGravity.com. So you've probably seen quite a few things, maybe some that are just concepts, some that are prototypes, maybe some that are, you know, poised to break out into this field and really change our society today. What do you think is the most promising thing you've seen?
Well, you know, I work in between. I mean, some of the stuff that I've covered
mm-hmm.
is so far out there that you know, nobody would look at it in a million years and say, oh, well, that'll obviously work, you know.
Mm.
And then, you know, also more recently, especially, I've been doing a fair amount of conference coverage mm-hmm. on more down-to-earth mainstream concepts. So, you know, I tend to gravitate towards the mainstream stuff myself to some degree,
mm-hmm.
But I also have to personally be careful about that. You know, it's very difficult to keep an open mind. And you know, one example is I have, you know, tons of inventors send me an email, and you know, a lot of innovators don't write well, and so it's not well written, and some of these emails just sound kind of nutty. But you know, you'll get an email and it says, "I developed." Well, for instance, today I had an email from a fellow who said he developed a wormhole, and the wormhole blew up his truck, and it was carbon in the metal that caught on fire and burned, and that's how he could explain the September 11th conspiracy that he was working on. And I thought, well, there's a pretty good chance that, this is, you know, not a real technology. That this fellow is either, you know, trying to pull a gag, or maybe unfortunately he believes in something that's just so far out there that it can't be validated in any way. You know, but at the same time, I have to kind of remain open-minded and say, well, you know, there's a possibility, and I don't want to write this off because, you know, things get written off all the time. Mm-hmm. In fact, one that I think is a really interesting story that I'm following right now is the Searle effect, which I mentioned earlier.
Yeah, can you talk about that? Because, again, I know you said it's pretty commonly known, but probably not to me.
Well,
we can assume Searle that I know nothing.
Searle was kind of a grassroots inventor in the Midlands, which is in Britain, in I believe the 1940s is when he got started. And the story is very prototypical. It's very colloquial, I guess. He was a child, fell off the back of an apple cart, hit his head, and had a vision of basically, it was kind of like a wheel within wheels, almost like the Ezekiel, I forgot what they call it. The wheel of Ezekiel. In Searle's case, that translated into basically a ring surrounded by rollers inside of another ring surrounded by rollers inside of yet another. So it was almost like a roller bearing inside of a roller bearing. So kind of an interesting design. And his claim was that when you build this thing correctly, if you give it just a tiny little bit of push, it'll spin itself up to speed, and it will show some of the same things that Marcus Hollingshead claimed to have seen. It would show a glow or a fog around the device when it spun, and that it would spin faster on its own with you know, no input energy. And that if you connected it to an electrical load, it would meet any load. So, you know, the higher the load, you know, the more it would power, the faster it would spin. And he also said that if it spun fast enough, for instance, in his case, he said he discovered this when he was testing it on a workbench. He kept connecting additional equipment to it to see, you know, where it would stop meeting the load. And so he kept hooking up more stuff, and it kept spinning faster and faster. And eventually he hooked it up to his stovetop and turned that on, or so the story goes. And the SEG took off through the roof of his house and left a nice big hole where, you know, where it had gone through.
Wow.
So, yeah, interesting story. You know, very colloquial. The hole through the top of the roof, or even that XM commercial played on it, the hole in the top of the barn when it shoots off to space. You know, the prototypical anti-gravity story.
Wow.
But in Searle's case, they've had decades to bring this thing forward. And he claimed, and he actually did build some of these in the 1960s, that are photographs of these things being constructed, as well as craft that looked like UFOs that they went in. Searle would wheel these things around Great Britain and show them to people in the 60s. Apparently he would do it at the fair as part of his project. And he fell on hard times, and he had some business partnerships that fell apart. And he actually ended up in jail at one point because he had a run-in with the power company. So this was all lost, and he spent the late 60s, the 70s, and the 80s, and well, I guess the 90s also, basically trying to get enough funding together to build another one of these devices. And I think most people tended to think that it had cultural relevance, but not a whole lot of scientific relevance. But just in the last couple of weeks, his team has put together enough funding to put a prototype online. It's a very small one. It's not complete, but it does spin. And it spins pretty rapidly with very little input energy, which is really what the first one was supposed to do. Give it a little boost, and it'll start to spin, and it'll spin itself up to speed. And so I was just looking at this online on YouTube earlier tonight. They have a new close-up video. And sure enough, it seems like on a small scale, it at least does some of the things that it claimed. And when they get a larger one completed, who knows? Maybe that'll do exactly what we're hoping for.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's one of those cultures where almost nothing is out of bounds, and you can never really write anything off for certain.
It's fantastic. People can link to that YouTube clip off of your website, by the way.
Yeah,
put that out there.
I have links up. He had some a couple weeks ago also, and those are links on the main page as well.
Oh, so. Great. Wonderful. Well, that's amazing. Now, in the course of telling your story about Marcus Hollingshead, you mentioned Nick Cook. Can you talk a little bit more about him? Now, you said he wrote the book, The Hunt for Zero-G, or Zero Point Energy, excuse me?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's called The Hunt for Zero Point.
Zero
it's
point.
Available on Amazon, mm-hmm. and it actually ties in ties into another story I just finished with one of your listeners, actually, mm-hmm. Joseph Farrell.
Yeah, he's been on the show a bunch of times. He's fantastic.
Yeah, and he... You know, I was really fortunate to be able to interview Joseph because he's done some wonderful analysis on the Nazi Bell story that mm-hmm. Nick Cook really kind of brought to the public light, I guess.
Yeah.
And, you know, so to be able to work with both of these individuals who have both done such a wonderful job, and I've interviewed Igor Witkowski as well, and, mm-hmm. and he was the originator of this story by finding this research, I guess. I've really just been fortunate to meet, you know, some really innovative people doing some unique things. In Nick Cook's case, I met him in 2002 when I was doing the lifter research. Mm-hmm. And in that case, we were actually building lifters, which are basically little aluminum triangles. They have three sides and a wire that runs around the top. And you put a high voltage on them and they'll fly. Now, there's been a ton of controversy over whether or not these devices are powered by ion wind or the Biefeld-Brown effect or, you know, my personal favorite is a mixture of the two, which just makes it impossible to measure. and, you know, every time somebody comes up with a definitive answer one way, somebody else will come up with a definitive answer the other. Mm. A lot of it lately has involved vacuum chambers, but even those, as it turns out, aren't pure results. Unless the vacuum chamber is pumped down to 10 to the negative 40th torr, if I remember right, there's still enough ions in it that when you turn the lifter on, it basically just becomes a pretty neon lamp.
Hmm.
So it becomes one of those areas where, you know, you have two sides that are firmly planted in what they want to believe, and they just keep, you know, throwing rocks across the wall at each other.
Yeah. Wow.
But, you know, at the time, in 2002, we were building lifters and flying them all the time. And it was an open-source project. The plans are still there. They're pretty easy to build. They're not that expensive. They're probably $3 to $5 in parts for each one.
Wow.
So not bad. And it really became one of those things that got a lot of people involved with the idea of anti-gravity, and it got a lot of people involved with alternative science in a really hands-on way. At the time, Nick Cook was doing research for the Hunt for Zero Point, which he was just wrapping up, and so I just managed to touch base with them at a really great point in time.
Oh, that's amazing. Now, I'd actually seen Nick Cook without knowing who it was in the course of he had done a documentary talking about the Nazi Bell Project, and I'd seen that with my wife, and we thought, you know, how fascinating. I've never heard any of this stuff before. And then I'd met Joseph Farrell, read his book, and so obviously it was just worked out perfectly that I'd seen that, but. Yeah, he did quite a bit, and Nick was, I guess, the first English-speaking researcher to bring this stuff forward, correct?
Mm, yeah. Now, was that did that documentary come out earlier in this year? Or?
Oh, gosh, when did I see that? No, I want to say it was last year, maybe something like that. It was on Discovery, and it was just, you know, happened to catch a little bit of it, because I remember looking at the pictures, and he was describing about, you know, the power source, where it came in, and sort of, you know, speculating on what it was supposed to do and what it was for and what it looked like and things like that. I didn't remember all of it because we were just flipping around and saw something that piqued my interest. I don't usually watch a whole lot of TV, but I do watch a lot of the Discovery Channel, History Channel, things like that.
He's had a couple of documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I asked was I was in the second one at the very end.
So. Oh, really? Oh, maybe
was
that was that.
The fellow in the blue shirt. Although his first documentary, I know it's probably not right for it to be humorous, but you know he's English. He's very English,
uh-huh.
and everything in England is pretty close because it's just not a big country.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this idea for his first documentary that, you know, he would rent a car and drive around the U.S. and get film, you know, on his on his way from location to location.
Right.
And it sounded like a great idea, you know. And again, he's been a journalist for long enough that it wasn't his first trip to the U.S. But I'm not entirely sure if he intuitively realized just how big our country is, because most of this documentary was him in the car. You know, and it was like, well, halfway to Arizona, three quarters of the way to Arizona. So the rest of us can hop a plane, but for him, it was a lot of cutscenes.
I'll bet. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, I guess it would be sort of intimidating to. Yeah, I mean, look, I love this place. I love this country. Lots of amazing things to see, and also a whole lot of nothing in between those places. So.
Yeah, you get on the road, and there's just more road. And,
absolutely.
And he would have a brainstorm, and he would pull over, and he would film himself. And so it was just humorous to see, you know, he's like, well, I'm just going to hop in the car and drive, you know, from Maine to wherever, you know, Maine to Texas or something. And, like, you don't just drive from Maine to Texas.
Yeah, that's amazing, though. Tim, we have another break here, my friend. Let me get you to hang on. Folks, we're back in three with more from our guest, Tim Ventura. Check out the website, AmericanAntiGravity.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back, folks. Tail end of our first hour already, and time is flying. Let me remind you, of course, this hour is being brought to you by our good friends down at Howard Creek Resort, featuring 9 fully equipped individual housekeeping cabins and easy access to all the fun things that make Arkansas fun. Now, you may say, what makes Arkansas fun? Everything. This is an amazing place. I've lived all over the country, and I don't plan on leaving Arkansas anytime soon, if that's any endorsement. And Howard Creek Resort is just, it's located right there at I guess you could say, the area that they're at Bull Shoals Lake is just absolutely gorgeous. So consider it when you're planning your family vacation this year. You can visit them on the web, of course, and check it out at www.howardcreek.com, or you can call them toll-free at 877-253-7690. Let's get back to our guest, Tim Ventura from AmericanAntiGravity.com. Thank you again for this incredible hour so far, and I'm looking forward to talking with you more, of course, as the show progresses. But I wanted to ask you more about lifters. I was talking to my producer, Thomas, there in the studio, and he was saying, hey, so if I build one that's big enough, will it be able to lift me off the ground? Because I'll do it. I'll do it today, is what he said. So, you know, people start hearing these things, and they're very excited about it. We should probably give it some detail. And if people go to your website, and again, it's AmericanAntiGravity.com, then there's some buttons across the top. If you click on research and then scroll down, you'll be able to click on lifters, and a whole assortment of information will pop up on your screen. So, Tim, tell us a little bit more about these as far as for people who have never seen or heard anything about them. What exactly is it? Is it it's aluminum, you said?
Yeah, the lifters are, I don't know what you'd call it. You might almost call it like the tricycle of the anti-gravity world.
Okay.
You know, not the best term, but I guess it's descriptive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was what got me to start the website, and the reason had been that Bill Butler, who I've worked with on the electromagnetic propulsion, he sent me a little video clip of one of these lifters in flight in 2002, right before the layoffs at AT&T. So I was in my office looking at this, and at the time I was managing an e-commerce group, and so he sent this over, and it was just a short note. He said, look, these guys made this thing work that we've been playing with.
Hmm.
And so I opened up the video, and sure enough, this little triangular-shaped aluminum thingy was lifting off a table and flying.
Hmm.
And it was tethered, so it didn't get very far. It only went up about a foot or so, but, you know, it was still impressive to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And so I watched the video and then went to a website. It was a fellow named Jean-Louis Naudin in France who builds these things left and right. And he had a set of plans, but they weren't very well written and kind of hard to follow.
Mm-hmm.
And he had all the same stuff that we've been playing with in the 90s, except that he had built them so lightweight, and they didn't have an onboard power supply, that they would actually take off and fly around.
Wow.
And that had been why we'd missed it. And I guess to our credit, most people had missed it. Everybody thinks, well, if I'm going to build one, I'm going to put the power supply on board. And then they realize it's just too heavy to do that.
Wow.
So this fellow had bypassed that. He just had a couple of power wires and 3 tethers. The tethers held it down, and the power wires come in on the sides.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you have one that's high voltage that goes to the wire that runs around the top,
mm-hmm.
and then you have a ground connection that goes to the foil around the bottom. Now, the B-Field Brown, the field effect propulsion model, claims that it creates an asymmetrical capacitance, and the wire is attracted to the foil, and since the wire is, the foil is attracted to the wire, and therefore, basically, it's like the snake chasing its own tail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was kind of the idea behind it.
Hey, Tim, I'm sorry, I have to interrupt you again for a quick station identification for our affiliates. Folks, please stay with us. We're back in about 90 seconds with hour number 2 and our special guest, Tim Ventura, and more frankly, Speaking Radio. Please stay with us.